New Testament reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 12 to 25. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready there prepared for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it, just as he said he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Amen. Let us come to our God in prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you and praise you for your good mercy and grace. And we thank you that by your grace, we can devote this Lord's Day as a day of worship and rest, and we can gather around your word to listen to your word being preached. So help us now as we listen to your word. Give us humble heart and willing heart to listen. And we pray that as we look into the meaning of Christ's sacrifice, help us to have deeper understanding of his sacrifice, and help us accordingly greatly humbled and exalt your great sacrifice and loving mercy through our worship. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have reached chapter 14 of the Gospel, and this means we are almost at the end of the Mark's Gospel. And this further means we are heading to the climax of the story, which is suffering and crucifixion of Christ Jesus. And Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is really the most important story in the Gospel. And today's passage really gives us important background to understand his great sacrifice on the cross. So for tonight's sermon, I will try to explain some of the aspects of his great sacrifice that could lead us to have deeper understanding of his sacrifice. And as we understand the deeper meaning, I also hope and pray that this could further humble us, humble our heart with great thankfulness. So the question we can ask here is, what are the aspects of Jesus' sacrifice we see from today's passage? And firstly, today's passage really tells us that his suffering and sacrifice on the cross was something that Jesus chose to do in his own sovereign freedom. We see, bearing the cross was not something he did reluctantly, but we see it was his willing sacrifice. And understanding his willing sacrifice just adds so much meaning and value to the sacrifice he has made. So we're going to look to that aspect of his willing sacrifice now. So when we see the background of today's passage, verse 12 says, on the first day of unleavened bread. And this is referring to the annual feast that would normally last for 8 days. And we see it begins with slaughtering the lamb, and the purpose of the festival was to remember God's rescue of Israel from the slavery of Egypt. And during this festive season, the Passover could be celebrated only within the walls of Jerusalem. And the early church historian Josephus writes that there were almost 250,000 lambs slaughtered during this festive season. So this means if we are to allow average of 10 people per lamb, this means that there would be more than 2.5 million people in the city of Jerusalem during this festive season. So we can easily, when we understand this historical background, we can easily assume that there would be a great influx of people into Jerusalem. And this also means it would be challenging for the disciples to prepare the Passover meal. But in such busy and challenging time of the season, we see Jesus is really in a complete control of the preparation with his divine foreknowledge. So in verse 12, Jesus' disciples raise this question to Jesus, where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And in the following verses, from verses 13 to 15, Jesus says, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. And when you meet the man, ask this question, where is my guest room? And then this man will accordingly prepare a large room for the Passover meal. And in verse 16, we see everything is fulfilled. Everything is fulfilled according to Jesus' instruction. So this really highlights the fact that Jesus was in complete control in this busy time of season. And he was in complete control of the situation. And we also see Jesus was not only in complete control of the situation, we see he also knew about his coming death by his disciples' betrayal. So when we look at verse 17, Jesus says this, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. So when Jesus begins the sentence with the word truly, we know that Jesus is saying this with a great level of certainty. And in verse 20, when he says, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me, we see he is even able to identify the person who is about to betray him. So this tells us that he clearly knew about his coming death on the cross. So the important question we can raise here is the fact that Jesus knew about his coming death and he was in sovereign control of the situation. What does it tell us about his sacrifice on the cross? And the answer is, as one of the commentators, James Edwards, describes, this tells us that Jesus was not a tragic hero caught in events beyond his control. In other words, his sacrifice on the cross happened not because Jesus was heavy-handed or because there was nothing much he can do about it, but we see it was in his sovereign freedom. In his sovereign freedom, he chose to bear the cross in accordance with the Father's will. So knowing that Jesus' death on the cross was a willing sacrifice, it adds so much meaning and value to the sacrifice he has made on the cross. And I believe we can also draw an important application from this truth as well. And I believe this should really lead us to change our attitude towards hardship through sacrifice. I mean, as we are living in a world that comfort is the new idol, any kind of sacrifices that lead us to hardship aren't really worth it. From the eyes of the world, they are the meaningless and foolish thing to do. But as we see and understand that Jesus' sacrifice was a willing sacrifice, this should also lead us to follow this example of Christ's sacrifice for the benefit of others. So this means as we sacrifice our time and money and even our life for the benefit of others, we do not make this sacrifice because someone has forced you to do so, or not because you are running out of options. I mean, coming from Asian culture, we have this so-called group culture. And I've seen many Korean Christians making sacrifice simply because of the pressure from the group they receive. So from that group pressure, it just lead them to sacrifice their time and money. But these things should not really be forced, but our Christian sacrifice should be a willing sacrifice, because Christ is the one who displayed a perfect example of this willing sacrifice. So based on today's passage, following and imitating Christ should be our motivation when we sacrifice our things for the others. And I believe missionaries are the ones who display a great example of this as well. When we see missionaries, especially in the developing countries, they sacrifice their comfortable life in their home country, they sacrifice their career, and they sacrifice their financial prosperity. And people may ask, why would they do such a thing? It's a silly thing. It may seem like a silly thing to do. And we see it is not because someone has forced them to do so, but it is in their willingness they make sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. So this really tells us that our sacrifice should be a willing sacrifice with a joyful heart, just as Christ did on the day, on the night before his death. Now, the second aspect of Jesus' sacrifice we see from today's passage is that his sacrifice was for the unworthy. As David mentioned in the last week's sermon, the common structure we see from Mark's gospel is so-called sandwich structure. And Mark put the main key idea sandwiched in the center with the surrounding structures. And from today's passage, the main idea we see is obviously Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper, which ultimately points to his death on the cross. And we see this main idea is sandwiched between the failures of the disciples. And this really tells us that his sacrifice was for the unworthy. So for example, we first see Jesus mentioning about his disciples' betrayal from verses 17 to 21. Then from verses 22 to 25, we see Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper that points to his death. And we didn't cover that in today's sermon, but in the following verse, from verses 26 to 30, we see another failure of the disciple where Jesus foretells that Peter will deny Christ three times. So this really highlights the fact that despite the great failure of his disciples, it was Jesus who still sacrificed his life on the cross. This tells us that Jesus' sacrifice was for the unworthy, and his sacrifice was an unconditional sacrifice. And I think Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, we also see Paul affirming this great truth as well. So we're going to have that on the screen. He says this, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." In verse 7, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die." In verse 8, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And this really reminds us that the wonderful benefit of our salvation through Christ's sacrifice. It's not something we enjoy because we are worthy and deserving, but it is because God's unconditional election, love, and his unconditional sacrifice that we are able to enjoy this wonderful benefit of salvation. And as we understand this meaning of Jesus' sacrifice, we should be greatly humbled. We should really be humbled by his precious sacrifice. And this also reminds us the true meaning of sacrifice for others as well. We see, when we sacrifice our time, when we sacrifice our things for our neighbors or our friend or family, we normally have two big problems. Firstly, we are selective in our sacrifice. And secondly, we are conditional in our sacrifice. So when I say we are selective, we normally want to sacrifice our things only to those whom we like, only to those whom we love. So we see, we like to make sacrifice only to a certain group of people. And when I say our sacrifice is conditional, this means we want to make sacrifice only to those who are deserving. And we also see our sacrifice as a way of give and take as well. So where we normally expect to receive something in return as we sacrifice something. But here, when we learn that it was Christ who sacrificed his life while we were still sinners, we see his sacrifice was really for the unworthy, and it was an unconditional sacrifice. And this tells us that as we follow and imitate Christ, we are not to be selective and conditional, but we are to give unconditionally without discrimination. And as we do so, we may get nothing in return, and it may seem foolish and meaningless. And some people might say to you, why would you sacrifice your things for other people when you get nothing in return? It just seems foolish and meaningless. But based on today's passage, I would like to encourage you to see that the value and the meaning of our sacrifice is on the fact that it is a way of following. It is a way of following and imitating Christ's unconditional sacrifice for the unworthy. And another great motivation we find from the Bible is that our Lord, our God, knows all your effort and sacrifice. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, it is our Father who sees our good work in secret, and he will reward us. So although our sacrifice may seem meaningless and foolish from the eyes of this world, I would like to encourage you not to lose heart and continue to follow the example of Christ's sacrifice as we see from today's passage. And lastly, today's passage also points out the great purpose, the ultimate purpose of his sacrifice as well. So when we look at verses 22 to 24, the key words in this section and to understand the purpose of Jesus' sacrifice are the body, and the blood of covenant. So these are the two words that are key to understand the meaning and purpose of Christ's sacrifice. So firstly, we see in verse 22, after Jesus broke the bread and he said, take, this is my body. So what does it mean that the bread is Jesus' body? We see bread points to Jesus' body, which was broken for our sin. Last week we had the joy of celebrating the Lord's Supper after a long time of lockdown. And whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the bread is the visual sign of Christ's body, who was broken on the cross as the penalty of our sin. And then in verse 24, Jesus further says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. So firstly, when Jesus says, this is my blood of the covenant, The question we may ask is, what is this covenant about? And the book of Hebrews is the wonderful book to learn about this new covenant in Christ. And in fact, the Jeremiah that Kelpen led to us before is another wonderful passage of this coming new covenant through Christ. And when we especially look at chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, it first says this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And in verse 12 in chapter 8, it also talks about the key idea of this new covenant through Christ. It says, "For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." So we see this new covenant is really God's covenant of grace, where we will receive pardon for our sin. And we see when Jesus says this covenant is blood of covenant, it is through his blood that this new covenant would be fulfilled and sealed. And it was indeed Jesus who died and shed his precious blood on the cross as the penalty of our sin. And as the result of his precious blood on the cross, for those who are in Christ can receive pardon for their sin and reconciled with God. And it is through his precious blood that we can be part of this covenant grace. So we see Jesus' willing and unconditional sacrifice was really for our benefit, to set us free from the condemnation of sin and death. And as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor." So as we understand this meaning and great purpose of his sacrifice, we can also learn what it means to follow and imitate Christ. And just as Christ willingly and unconditionally sacrificed his life to give us life, we are also to sacrifice our time and our money and even our life, willingly and unconditionally for the benefit of others. And as we follow this great example of his sacrifice, we would then be able to witness his love and his mercy to others. So as I conclude tonight's sermon, I would like to close it reading from Charles Sturt's famous quote. I think it's really encouraging quotation from him, which really motivates us to follow the example of Christ's sacrifice. And we're going to have that on the screen. And he says this, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace that is revealed through your Son, Christ Jesus. And because of his willing and unconditional sacrifice for unworthy sinners like us, we thank you that we can receive pardon for our sin and enjoy eternal life. And we thank you that we can be part of your gracious covenant. So Heavenly Father, we pray that as we understand the deeper meaning of your sacrifice, help us to love you all the more with great thankfulness, and help us to witness Christ to other people by following the example of Christ's sacrifice. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.